Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Guilty or not guilty, you've written a character just to throw a little shade at someone from real life.
Ooh.
Hey, babes.
Yeah?
You want to tell him or should I?
I'll tell him!
Okay, tell him. Tell him now.
Tea Time with Raven and Miranda is going to have our first live show. That's right!
Yes, our first live show is happening, you guys. Tea Time is coming to the stage on June 6th at 7 p.m.
at the Howard Theater.
The Theater.
In Washington, D.C. Hey, if you're there for World Pride, we'll be there too.
Come see us, you guys. Tickets and all that information down below. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Miranda Moments. Today, I am diving a little bit deeper with Lena Waithe. Hi, Lena.
Hi, what's up?
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Good. Today, we're going to dive deeper into self-care.
Okay.
Because I feel like self-care is something that's really important, and I want to know your thoughts and feels on self-care, and what do you do for self-care?
Well, self-care is super important to me, I think, because if I don't do it, I'm just not in a good space. Mm. And so I've introduced meditation into my self-care, which is really, I think people can be intimidated by that word because it feels like you got to be like, and it's like super calm.
Yeah.
I'm none of those things. Meditation for me is just sitting quietly. Mm. And by the way, it doesn't have to be quiet in order for you to sit quietly.
Correct.
I think sometimes people wait for it. Well, the house is full or the music is blaring or there's a construction across the street. The mission is to be able to sit quietly and to not let those noises infiltrate.
Mm.
And I think that is a big practice that I have to do because the truth is the world is always going to be noisy.
100%.
It's never going to slow down. So we can't wait for it to be quiet. We can't wait for it to slow down in order for us to get quiet or for us to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
So what I just have to always tell myself every morning, I have to sit, I don't check my phone. I sit quietly before I pick up my phone.
So it's a daily practice for you.
It is. Yeah. And also doing cold plunge. That's like a thing I've been doing, which is not fun. It is definitely hard.
That scares me.
But what I've learned from it is, one, it is good for your system and all that kind of stuff. But mentally, what it tells you is you just have to breathe when you're in super cold water. You have to breathe. You have to breathe and just tell yourself it's all good. And also know that the cold and the shock is temporary, most things in life, most hard things in life. You know, you kind of go, oh, shoot, there's a shock. And then you have to, if you breathe, you realize, okay, I can be in here. And then afterward, you're like, okay, let me get out the cold water, you know. But I think those things, again, it's sort of about mind over matter. And so I try to, that is a form of self-care for me, just to remind myself that my brain has a lot more power than what's going on outside of it.
How has your self-care practices, how have they changed over the years as your life has gotten busier and you have more responsibility and...
Well, I think it's just become more of a priority.
Mm.
I think before I didn't even vacation. I didn't know what that was. And then, you know, I learned about that and taking time because we do kind of feel like, especially if you're raised in a single parent household and, you know, you're trying to get the money together, you don't think about, oh, let me take a beat for myself. And so once you get to a space, what you realize about really successful people, if you ask them, what do? They take time for themselves and they prioritize themselves in a way that people sometimes may think is selfish or weird. But even sometimes I do retreats where I get away and I get quiet and I have to work with my team. I have to work with people to say, hey, I'm not going to be available to you for a certain amount of days.
Was it hard for you to learn how to set those boundaries or to stand up for yourself in that way?
Well, I think the truth is you got to ask yourself who you're surrounded by.
Mm.
So if you are nervous to ask for time, then I think that might be an opportunity to look at who's around. Because the truth is when you set boundaries, the people that are proud of you for doing that are people that you really want to be in community with.
100%.
Because I think those are people that can appreciate the fact that you have boundaries. If somebody is sort of, oh, you're not going to be available or I can't talk to you or why is that or what's going on? It's really a reflection of them not being able to have healthy boundaries because if someone says, hey, I need some space. Okay, sure. Yes, I celebrate that versus why?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need space from me? And then that's a person like, you know, who's you know, or someone say, hey, I can't make it to that event. Okay, cool. versus someone saying, are you out of town, or is there a problem?
Right.
You know, so I think oftentimes we internalize people's reactions versus letting them educate us about who they are and how they show up in our lives.
Through their responses.
Yes.
Yeah, yes, I 100% yes. agree. And I know some people feel really guilty or in taking self-care because it'll feel like, oh, I'm being selfish, or in setting this boundary, I'm not showing up. And especially if you're a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. I think I know a lot of people in my life who have struggled with...
You could just say it's me, babe.
Well, it's more than just you, babe, my wife. Well, okay, if we're going to use Raven specifically, Raven is such a yes man, and she will burn herself out because she's just unwilling to say no because the fear is... I'm going to disappoint, or I'm going to let down, or I'm going to miss, or they're going to think this of me. But I think you're totally right. Something that I've kind of encouraged her to be okay with is being able to say that doesn't work for me and leave it at that, and know that if people are not receiving that, that's on them, not you, because you're allowed to not go to an event. You're allowed to say that you can't be on the phone call any longer after someone's kept you on for 2 hours spilling their guts to you, you know, like you have space to be able to say, I have to prioritize myself. And in doing that, you actually, in my opinion, help model a new example to that person. And that is why I think it's important to stay in your truth, because then people have an opportunity to actually learn and grow from what you're putting out.
True. I mean, well, I hear you. A lot of people can be yes people, you know, yeah. I think, but my thing is, if I have to say yes to you all the time for you to love me, then I have to question what our relationship is.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I think the most important thing, like I told a friend of mine, I said, you don't have to do anything for me to love you.
You can just be.
Yeah. And he came back. He said, I appreciate that. You know, because I think we, for whatever reason, growing up, feel like we have to earn people's love. We have to do something for it. 100%. And that might, you don't have to be a child star to have that experience. You could be a kid, you know, sort of growing up with parents that make you feel like you have to get A's for them to love you. You have to behave, you have to be quiet. You have to wear dresses. You have to do certain things. And then what happens is when you become an adult, that relationship with your parents becomes fractured.
100%.
Because then you start to say, hey, I don't depend on you for food, for shelter, for comfort even anymore. And so therefore, if I stop doing all the things you need me to do, then you don't even know how to engage with me. But you'd be surprised, so many people my age or age are still doing things for their parents to love them. And I'm just using parents as an example. It could be friends, it could be community. And anyone you have to do something for them to love you, that you got to reevaluate that relationship.
100%.
Yeah.
And I feel like what we've almost said in this little conversation is that self-care can honestly be being yourself, being your truest self, and then the community and the people that come to you that support yourself in all ways is the best place for you to be and spend your energy and spend your time and connection.
Yeah, and I also think people don't, when you tell someone to be yourself, what I found was like, well, how do I do that? Like, who is that? Like, I don't know after all these years, I've like been so busy trying to please and show up for everybody. I think that's what's so hard about that. Those are real growing pains. You kind of hit that when I think you're 40, you get to that age where you're like, okay, like, I don't want to do this. And you're like, and what you have to start realizing is, all right, I'm a person that doesn't like to do a thing on a Saturday. That's not chilling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, that says something about me. I'm a person who has to keep my weekends to myself. And so then maybe your friends will kind of go, okay, you don't want to hang out on weekend. Some friends may say, you know what? I only hang out on weekends, so we ain't compatible no more.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. You know, and some people say, I get that. Yeah, take your weekend. I'll see you Monday. Great. Thank you. So we still aligned.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think then that's the only way you get to know yourself is by really saying, do I want to do this? You know, do I really want to do that? Or am I doing that for somebody else? Like, and just have to keep asking yourself that. And, but seriously, I literally told a person I couldn't make it to an event. She asked, is it because I was going to be out of town?
Wow.
And this is a friend who I love dearly. You know what I'm saying? And my thing is, I'm like, what does it matter if I'm out of town or not?
Shouldn't. Right.
You know, but that again, and so I go, okay, like, but I'm aware of that. And then that person couldn't make it to one of my events and I didn't care. I was like, it's all good, you know, but she hit me with a voice note and was like, I was sick. I was this. And I'm going like, you didn't have to do that. It's okay.
Yeah.
You can't make it. I don't have no qualm about it. You have a qualm about it. That's why you sent me a note, because you want me to know, you want to hear your voice, that you aren't well.
Yeah.
you know, so that way you couldn't make it. I'm like, I didn't need to.
Yeah.
You could have saved your voice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just
because
like,
people care so much.
Or you think you're going to hurt. I don't want you to be upset. I'm like, yeah. I'm not upset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, that's such a tricky thing, though, because I think what you're saying is so much easier ultimately, which is just like, and it's also trusting because where you're meeting people is from a place of trust. And you're saying, I'm trusting that if you can't come to my event, it's because you can't. It's not because of fill in the blank reasons. It's not because you don't like me. It's not because you don't like this. It's because you have to handle your shit. And I respect you enough as a person to say, cool. I think that people have been so hurt and so twisted because of their relationship dynamics and because we interact with people that, you know, fuck us up, that we are always then
made to feel guilty if I can't make it.
Exactly.
To something.
And the fear is if I don't show up for Lena, then she might not ever show up for me again. And then that's going to do that. And and it becomes this slippery slope.
Yeah. Which is, that's what we got to let go. We have to let go. We have to detach.
We have to let them, don't we?
Let them not come.
You have the right to remain silent. Or you can answer truthfully. Okay. Either way, your responses will probably be used against you in the comment section. So, guilty or not guilty? She was like, I have to process all of this.
Hey, come on.
Guilty or not guilty? You've written a character just to throw a little shade at someone from real life.
You know what?
It's just guilty or not guilty, Lena.
Or plead the fifth.
Yeah.
Not guilty. I don't think I've ever done purposely to do that.
Guilty?
I may have done it by accident. I'm never purposeful.
Fair. Guilty or not guilty? You've cried at your own work before anyone else saw it.
Ooh. I cried at the table read for 1001. So that wasn't my, I didn't write it. But
everyone
that table
saw
read,
it. Yeah.
I turned the camera off. It was virtual, but I did cry at the end of a table read.
Guilty or not guilty? You've used being booked and busy as an excuse to get out of plans. I know, literally.
Not guilty.
Right, because we tell the truth here.
Yeah, yes. Not an excuse.
Guilty or not guilty? You've stayed on a bad date just because the food was really good.
Not guilty of that.
Guilty or not guilty, you've pretended to have terrible service on a call just to end it quicker, even though you were totally fine the whole time.
Not guilty.
You're too honest for this. That's it, Lena. Thank you so much for doing Miranda Moments with me.
Thank you for doing it.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for watching this episode of Miranda Moments. Make sure to tune in to the full episode of Tea Time on Thursday with Lena. Bye.